Now, today marks the winter solstice here in the Southern Hemisphere. It's described as a bit of an astronomical phenomenon, so we've asked Fred Watson from the Australian Astronomy Observatory to give us the ins and outs of what the go is with the winter solstice. Fred, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's a great pleasure, Tess. Good to talk to you.
So
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, could you give us a little bit of background on, I guess, the mechanics of what the winter solstice is?
Well, yeah, that's right. So the word solstice basically just means sun stands still. So the sun stands still in the sky. Now, it doesn't, you know, just stop because, of course, the sun traverses across our northern sky due to the rotation of the Earth once a day. But if you think about the sun as it passes across the sky, when you get to midday, that's when the sun is at its highest point in the sky. And that happens every day. We say that the sun is crossing the meridian at that point. So the sun's due north. And what we've got at the solstice is that the sun is at its lowest above the horizon when it is at that point, because it's gone sort of far to the north in terms of, you know, thinking of it from the outside. So the sun stands still and then very slowly begins its southerly transfer to the sky, so that by the time we get to the summer solstice in December, the sun is at its highest point in the sky at noon rather than its lowest point as it is now. It's fairly simple stuff, but it all comes about, of course, because the Earth's axis is tilted with respect to its orbit. As the Earth travels around the sun, its axis stays at that same tilt, 23.5 degrees, and that's what gives us the seasons.
And now I understand as well that you can pinpoint the exact time of the solstice, the exact time of when we've hit the shortest point and we're on the way up. How does that work?
That's right, yeah. So astronomers define the solstice by the position of the sun in the sky, the way it appears to us. And because of that, you can sort of say, well, the solstice itself occurs at a specific moment. If I remember rightly, it's around 8 o'clock tonight. I should have checked that before we spoke. but I think that's about the time. But to the casual onlooker, you really don't tell the difference. But astronomers have it defined actually to the nearest second. There is a really unusual phenomenon that happens at the solstice, though, Tess, and it's one that I've had a lot of phone calls from people who've listened to me on the radio, and they've spotted this, because you would expect that because the sun is at its shortest, at its lowest point in our skies, and we have the shortest day is actually today, so you would expect that shortest day would correspond to the earliest sunset and the latest sunrise, because we naturally would think that would happen, so that the sun will start rising earlier tomorrow. But actually, that's not the case. These dates are sort of skewed. So the earliest sunset was about a week and a half ago, and the latest sunrise, I think, will be on the 1st of July. It's either the 30th of June or the 1st of July. And that doesn't seem to make sense to most people. And I have to say, when I first came across this phenomenon about 40 years ago, it didn't make sense to me either. But it all comes about, once again, because of that tilt of the Earth's axis. But it's combined with another phenomenon, and that is that the Earth's orbit around the sun is not circular. It's actually slightly elongated. So there are times when the Earth is nearer to the sun. In fact, we're at the closest point to the sun in January the 3rd. And then, 6 months later, we're at the furthest point from the sun. And the fact that the Earth's orbit isn't a circle and that the Earth's axis is tilted give rise to this separation of the earliest sunrise and the solstice and the latest sunset. Complicated stuff, but a lot of people notice that.
It's so cool. I was completely under the impression as well that it was the situation of the earliest, which way round? Earliest
yeah,
sunrise.
Early sunrise and latest sunset. Yeah, they're not the same day.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. One of my favourite solstice things that every time this time of year rolls around, you get to hear all the stories about the dark spirits that resurface during the winter solstice, all this fun stuff. It's a bit of a time for celebration. Why do you think that this happens?
Yeah, and in fact, you can sort of translate this to the Northern Hemisphere. Of course, the equivalent happens in traditional cultures here. When you get to the winter solstice, you start, of course, as soon as you pass that point, the days start getting longer. And that means springtime and, you know, all the growth and all the celebrations and all the rest of it. And that's why the winter solstice was a big celebration among traditional cultures in the Northern Hemisphere. It's sort of basically what eventually translated into Christmas, the celebration that we have in December. So that probably was taken over from a much, much earlier pagan celebration, probably Saturnalia, which marked the beginning of the time when the days get longer. And the same is true here. All our indigenous cultures here would know that after the solstice, the days are getting longer. So there's time for celebration.
Well, Fred, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for popping in this morning.
It's a great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks a lot, Tess.
That was Fred Watson from the Australian Astronomy Observatory giving us the ins and outs on the winter solstice. Bust out all the pagan rituals that you have for today. We are on the up, back on the way to summer.